والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has stated, The one who recites salat upon me once, Allah azza wa jal will shower him with 10 mercies. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, my dear viewers, in this beautiful silsila, fear of Allah Almighty. Last episode, we discussed the parables regarding the fear of Allah Almighty. And Alhamdulillah Azwajal, we shall discuss Fikr Madina with self-accountability. By making self-accountability, it becomes rather easy to attain the position of fear of Allah Almighty. And in order to develop this habit, it is extremely beneficial to do Fikr Madina daily, inshallah Azwajal. The easiest meaning of Fikr Madina is that a person, in view of hereafter, should do the self-accountability of his routine life. Afterwards, he should rectify those activities which are harmful to his hereafter life and should improve the acts which are beneficial to his hereafter. By the blessings of Fikr Madina, fear of Allah Almighty awakens into one's heart, causing deep inclination to perform virtuous deeds. Moreover, one feels afraid of committing sins and seeks forgiveness from his previous sins. While encouraging people to observe Fikr Madina, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam stated, Take benefit of five before five. Number one, youth before your old age. Number two, health before your sickness. Number three, wealth before poverty. Number four, life before death. And five, free time before preoccupation. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, O people, make accountability of your deeds before the day of judgment occurs, and you are accounted for them. Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated, Contemplation of wealth fills the heart with darkness, whereas the contemplation of hereafter fills the heart with light. Sayyidina Yahya bin Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, A kareem, a kind person, never disobeys Allah azza wa jal. And a hakeem, wise person, never prefers world to the hereafter. My dear viewers, now we need to take the benefits of the blessings of Fikr Madina. We need to strive to do the Fikr Madina perfectly. We should make ourselves habitual of doing Fikr Madina for at least 12 minutes before sleeping, lowering our heads, closing our eyes, and sitting alone in a room. Afterwards, we should fill in the booklet of Nek Amal. Now let's go over some few examples of understanding the method of Fikr Madina. Sometimes we should make the self-accountability of our daily activities in this way. How many hours have I spent since I woke up in the morning yesterday? The way I have spent my time, and during this time, the acts which I have committed. Does this way of spending life, is it good in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam or not? Regrettably, my way of life will surely be considered disliked. Because the first bad act committed by me yesterday was to miss Fajr Salah. Thereafter, I woke up too late in the morning. And as usual, I shaved off my beard, giving up the blessed Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and threw the hair of beard into filthy drain. During changing the clothes, etc., I kept listening to music and songs. Upon delaying breakfast, I hurt my mother by talking to her in a rude way, and flatly refused my father when he asked me to do a piece of work. The dress I wore was also against Sunnah. When I stepped out from my office, I stained the wall of a neighbor by spitting betel leaf juice. Thereafter, in the minibus, I argued with the conductor unnecessarily, using abusive language. During working hours in the office, I wasted my time talking about futile matters, used the belongings of office colleagues despite knowing that it would irritate them, spent a long break for Zuhr Salah gossiping with friends. Similarly, I missed Asr and Maghrib Salahs, keeping myself engaged in other activities. On return, due to overcrowding, I got in the bus and started shoving the people. While coming from the bus stop to the house, a poor man ran into me, and upon seeing this, I beat him, holding his collar, despite he was not guilty of it. After coming back home, I did not perform Isha Salah due to sheer exhaustion. Having taken dinner to lighten the mood, I joined a company of wayward and immoral friends. Indecent talks full of abusive language, playing cards, cracking jokes, etc., were the special features of this gathering. During this fun time, discussing someone's daughter or sister was also the favorite hobby of all of my friends. When I got back home late night, everyone was asleep. I switched on the TV for obtaining mental peace and kept watching obscene and unethical movies and scenes until sleep overtook me. Thus, I spent my whole day disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. Having reached in this state, now we have to address ourselves saying, "Oh foolish, how long will we continue such disgusting routines? Will our sins keep increasing on daily basis in this way? Do we not need virtues at all? Do we have courage and strength to face the torment of hellfire? We will be able to endure the grief over being deprived of paradise?" Remember, if we do not wake up to the fact even now, then death will shake you awake. But alas, it will be too late. You do nothing but remorse and regret. We are alive now. Considering these valuable moments sufficient, we have to be alert and spend this short life obeying Allah Almighty and following the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A second example of doing fikr in Medina is if you imagine the following scenario. The time of my death has approached, and I have drifted into drowsiness. My relatives, friends, etc., in the state of helplessness, are looking at me, whereas I am on the verge of experiencing unbearable death agonies. My tongue has become silent, and I am feeling immense thirst. In the meantime, someone from my side started reciting Surah Yasin. My vision is getting blurred. I cannot see the faces of my relatives and friends clearly. I uttered death rattle and soul left my body. When I died, my relatives and friends were overwhelmed by grief and lamentation. My wife, children, siblings, parents, etc. Everyone was shedding tears out of sadness, and some people were consoling my family members. Somebody moved forward and closed my eyes, and my toes were tied together as well, as jaws were tied with a piece of cloth. Some people went to prepare my grave, and some went to bring a coffin, a plank, etc. After the arrangement of ghusl, I was laid on the plank of ritual bath. Thereafter, my body was wrapped in white shroud and laid before the family members, relatives, etc. for a didar. A practice in which relatives, friends, etc. are allowed to see the face of the deceased for the last time, as now my beloved ones will not be able to see my face. An atmosphere of gloom prevailed in my entire house. Finally, my bier was lifted and people placed it on their shoulders. Wistfully, I had a last gaze of my house. This is the same house I was born. I spent my childhood and grew into a young man in this house. I looked upon my room where somebody else will reside now. I looked at those things which were in my use. Now these things will be used by somebody else. I looked at the plants planted by me. Now these plants will be looked after by somebody else. People carrying my bier started walking towards the graveyard with wistfulness and great longing. I took a last glance at my parents, wife, children, siblings, other relatives, friends, and locals. I saw these streets and paths leading me to my school and other places. After reaching Janazaga, a place where funeral salas are offered, my funeral salah was offered. Thereafter, direction of my bier was turned to the graves, where I'll be left abandoned in my grave for a long period of time. This is the same graveyard. I would tremble to approach it, even in daylight, out of fear. This is the grave about which it has been stated. It is either one of the gardens of paradise or a pit of hell. Grave is the first manzil, the stage of hereafter. If the grave dweller attains salvation here, the following stages, in other words, the hereafter, will be easier. If one does not attain salvation here, the following stages will be more severe. Those already buried in the graveyard added my grief and sorrows by saying, "O the one coming from the world, did you not seek advice from us? Did you not observe how we lost our deeds? You had a good time, but regrettably, you have wasted your time." The following words of grave terrified me. "O the one walking with pride on earth, did you not learn a lesson from those who died before you? Did you not see how people take your relatives to their graves? This is the same place where there will be two angels with horrific faces, with hair hanging from head to feet, emitting flames from their eyes. They will ask three questions in strict manner. Ma Rabbuka, who is your Rabb? Ma Dinuka, what is your religion? Thereafter, a luminous face will be shown, and third question will be asked. What did you used to say about this personality? My heart was sinking with this thought, lest my grave turn into a pit of hell due to the heedlessness of sins. If only I had earned good deeds, if only I had refrained myself from committing all sorts of sins, what will become of me now? Thereafter, open your eyes and say to yourself, I am still alive. I am taking breaths. Before facing such wistful moments, I will struggle to make my grave a garden of paradise. I will carry out more and more good deeds, and I will abandon sins so that I don't have to regret tomorrow. The third way of doing fikr in Medina is by imagining the following scenario. Having spent a long time in the grave, I have come out of my grave, like billions of other dead bodies, heading in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is not just. Everyone was perspiring profusely, giving off a foul odor. Sun is at a very close distance, blazing fire, and there is no shelter available to save from its heat. Our condition is getting worse due to the heat and thirst. Everyone was pushing and shoving due to a huge crowd, whereas my internal condition is that my heart is sinking as I am recalling the acts of disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. My heart is trembling with the thoughts of horrific punishments of hell. This is the same place of test for which it has been stated that one will not be able to move his feet from there until he gives the answers of five questions. Number one, how did you spend your life? Number two, how did you spend your youth? Number three, how did you earn wealth? Number four, how did you spend it? Number five, how did you act upon the knowledge you gained? Now it is a time to face the reckoning and justifying of what I did. But regrettably, I see nothing in my hands except sins out of utter helplessness. I am moving my gazes around, but find no support or help. Sense of regret is also causing distress, as I have nothing to present in the court of Allah Almighty because I did not obey what Sharia had ordered me. For example, I was commanded to perform Salah 5 times a day with Jama'ah daily in the masjid, but regrettably, I kept missing salahs due to sleep, exhaustion, friends gatherings, etc. I was commanded to observe Sawm in the blessed month of Ramadan, but regrettably, due to different false excuses and minor diseases, I kept myself deprived of having the privilege of fasting. I was commanded to perform Hajj and give zakat based on fulfilling certain conditions, but regrettably, overwhelmed by the greed for wealth, I avoided giving zakat and performing Hajj. I kept indulging in every sin that I was forbidden. For example, I was commanded not to hurt any Muslim without any Shari reason, but regrettably, I kept oppressing Muslims. I was prohibited to tease the parents, but regrettably, I kept disobeying my parents, and even I had made it my habit. I was restrained from looking at non-mahram women in either way, with and without lustful feelings. But regrettably, I did not protect my gaze. I was instructed to keep my tongue protected from swearing, backbiting, lying, tale-telling, indecent talk, etc. But regrettably, I could not do so. I was restrained from indulging in the evil of backbiting and abusive language, but regrettably, I could not keep away from these evils. Polluting the blessing of hearing ability, I was commanded to keep my heart clean from grudge, jealousy, arrogance, ill suspicion, rejoicing at others' distress, unlawful greed. After having disobeyed these commandments, how will I be able to face the reckoning in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal under such embarrassing situation, when my own body parts, the hands, feet, eyes, ears, tongues, etc. will be ready to bear witness against me? On the other hand, I am feeling deep regret for my misdeeds after seeing the favors and rewards of those who made good deeds in the very short span of life. These obedient servants, holding record of deeds in their right hands, heading towards paradise happily, but Allah Azza wa Jal knows what will be my consequence, lest I should be given my record of deeds in my left hand and it is commanded to me to go to hell, lest I be dragged on my face in front of my relatives and thrown into hell. Regrettably, I have disgraced myself. Wal iyadu billah. After reaching this state, now we should open our eyes and say this, addressing ourselves, do not be terrified. This terrifying time has not come yet. You are still in this world. Consider this as a valuable moment of your lifespan, sufficient, and make yourself busy trying to improve your hereafter life. Then resolve yourself firmly to become an obedient servant of Allah Azza wa Jal. I will start obeying the commandments from right now onwards, so that I do not have to feel regret tomorrow in the plain of Day of Judgment. My dear viewers, try to weep during Fikr Madina. If you cannot weep, then you should have the appearance of a crying person, so that the act of weeping pleases Rabb Azza wa Jal. For encouragement and motivation, let's look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, the one who weeps out of the fear of Allah will not enter the hell at all until milk returns to the udder of the animal. Sayyidina Uqba bin Amir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu humbly asked, O beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, what is salvation? The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, hold your tongue, your house will suffice for you. In other words, do not go out unnecessarily and shed tears over your misdeeds. Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, humbly asked, O beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, will anybody go to paradise without accountability? The Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, yes, the person who recalls his sins and weeps. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would make dua in this way. Allahumma zuqni aynaini hatalataini tushfayani bidhurufi dam'i qabla an tusira dumu'a dam'an wal adrasu jam'an. O Allah Azza wa Jal, grant me two such eyes which shed tears profusely and bring me satisfaction due to those tears before the tears become blood, and molars turn into firebrand. I pray to Allah Almighty that He gives us all the ability that we do our self-accountability daily and give us the ability that we weep in the path of Allah Almighty. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allah cause me to feel you in secret.